Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. When you're in seminary, one of the things that they do for you and invite you to do in your classes is put together potential programs for your church. You do that in Christian education class, you put together a preaching series, you do a number of different things. And in the stewardship class I took, we had to do a stewardship program for the church. And I chose, as the guiding text for my stewardship program, the reading that we read today from Malachi. Now, I'm excited that we're continuing and finishing out our preaching series on the minor prophets with Malachi because of my relationship with this reading and particularly the verses that we read today. And I was put together this stewardship program that I was going to use based on these words that we hear from here, from our reading. Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and in your offerings. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. And the emphasis of this stewardship program that I put together was this idea of saying, put the Lord to the test and bring all of your tithes and bring all of your offerings and see how God will bless us. Well, I got my paper back. And it was a C, which was okay because we had moved to pass-fail. And do you know what you call the person who graduated last from their seminary class? Pastor. So there you go. But in any case. And the reason was he said, think about the theology of what you are suggesting. That in some way, that we just bring our money, bring our tithes to God, and then God is going to bless us, and it's kind of like this transaction. And you know, we see that in our out in Christianity, particularly in America, don't we? We see like the pastor down in Atlanta who said, just bring your offerings to me and you will receive your new job. If you can just come and bring your offerings to me, then I can buy the $67 million airplane that I need for our ministry because we do global missions around the world. When I read that in the paper, I said, hey, we do global missions around the world too. But I don't think we need a $67 million airplane. But this idea that in some way God is the heavenly ATM, that God is the heavenly genie, that if we just rub the right place in our faith or in our life, or if we give the money that we need, then somehow God will then in that transaction expected to meet our needs. I once, on my internship, had a conversation that I've never had since, and I don't know how many pastors have ever had this conversation, but I had a conversation with a woman who came in to talk to me as the intern pastor, and she said, the problem is right now, Pastor, my husband is giving so much money to the church that we cannot pay our bills. Shocking, isn't it? I went to him and I said, dude, you need to switch this around. But the reality is that that idea that we can kind of get what we want from God if we do the right stuff is inherent, perhaps, in a cursory reading of this text. However, I'm going to suggest to you today that when the Lord says, put me to the test, that it's not perhaps exactly as we might be reading it here on first glance. For you see, as I've mentioned in different ways this week, either through this week at Bethel or through our devotion of the week, normally, from the words of Jesus and the words of Moses, we think of putting God to the test as a bad thing, correct? When we're reading in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, He gets to the very third temptation, and he says, throw yourself down from the top of the pinnacle, and the angels will save you. And Jesus' response is, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, what Jesus is doing is actually quoting from Deuteronomy, from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, a very famous chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, because that is where the Shema is located. And what is the Shema? Well, the Shema is what you also know as the Great Commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That commandment is there in Deuteronomy 6. Well, immediately following that, Moses says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But it continues. He says, like you did at Massah, M-A-S-S-A-H. Okay. So then, this week, I looked up, well, what exactly happened then at Massah? What might this tell us about Jesus saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test? Do not do that, quoting Deuteronomy. And why would Moses say that in Deuteronomy in the first place? Well, I looked it up, and you find that in the 17th chapter of Exodus. And if you remember the way the Exodus flows, they are brought out of Egypt in chapters 14 and 15, and then now they have found themselves, interestingly enough, in chapter 17, in a place called the Wilderness of Sin. And they have gotten there, and while they are there in this wilderness, they become hot and they become thirsty, and they begin to wonder whether or not Moses has brought them out here just to die. And they start complaining. And they start saying, we need all this stuff to meet our needs. And Moses goes to the Lord and says, what am I supposed to do with all of these quarreling people who want to put you to the test? And he says, what? He says, go strike the rock. He gets water. He feeds them. And then they name the place Massah. And Massah means test. Now, think through this for a second. If we are to understand that Malachi says, has the Lord saying, put me to the test, and we have these other examples saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test, what is the difference? How do we make sense of it? Well, I think we make sense of it in one very specific way. First of all, who is asking the questions? And number two, is God enough? Because if you think about this experience of Jesus in the wilderness with Satan, he's saying, Jesus, throw yourself down. Let's see if your God is enough. In the wilderness, the Israelites are worried and they're struggling and they are wondering whether God is enough. And the reality is that is our life too. Whether we're going through a time of pressure and stress, perhaps at work or in our relationships, perhaps we're dealing with a health issue, maybe we're dealing with issues involving our children or our aging parents, or maybe there's a struggle with a relationship with a friend, or whatever it happens to be, there will be times in each of our lives that we wonder if God is enough. And maybe in those moments we want to see that sign, or we think, well, if I just do these things, that transaction will happen with God. If I can just pray hard enough, or if I can just give enough, or if I can just do all of these things, then maybe I can get God to meet my needs and show me that God is enough. We all do that. But notice, when Moses says, do not put the Lord your God to the test, when Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test when he has been tempted in the wilderness by Satan, those are really kind of going along with what God is saying and the Lord is saying in Malachi when he says, put me to the test, because God's frustration with the people isn't necessarily the money aspect, although it is good for all of us in our lives of faith to bring our first fruits, to think of God first and the mission of God's work first. Absolutely. But what is really at issue here is trust and wondering if God is enough. And God in Malachi is saying, yes, I am enough. So much so that you put me to the test. Test me in whether or not I will be God enough for you and your lives, over your lives in relationship, over your faith, over your finances, over your politics, over your nationalities, over whatever your professions, whatever it happens to be, am I God enough for you? And God is saying, yes, I am. Yes, I am. God is the one issuing the promise. It's not good to put God to the test from our end. God, show me that you're good enough. Show me that you can do this. Show me this and meet my needs. Meet my needs. Let's transaction this. Let's make this happen. Yeah, that's not something we could do or should do as the people of God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. But when the God says, hey, I am your God. I am God enough for you and your life and your pain and your struggle, then you can believe that and you can test me on that. Because I am God enough for you and for whatever this world is bringing you in your life. Interestingly enough, at the very back of the Lutheran magazine for this month, our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, has a title of a story called If God Is Enough. And she says these words, which I think are applicable to today. So, dear church, she writes, is God enough? If not, then we are all consigned to an endless, exhausting, empty quest for meaning, relevance, and purpose. If God is enough, though, then we have everything we need. If God is enough, we are free to love in return and give our lives away for the sake of the gospel and in service to our neighbor. If God is enough, we can unclench our hands and unclench our lives. If God is enough, we can let go even of knowing, we can even let go of the church knowing that it is Christ's church and not ours. God is enough. God was enough at Massa and Meribah for the recently Israelites when they were led out of slavery. God was enough for Jesus, not only in the wilderness, but on the cross. God was enough in the midst of the empty tomb when God brought Jesus back to life. And God is enough for you. God is enough for us. God is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.